Five, four, three, two, one, go. Welcome back, everyone, to the Fireside Yankees podcast. I'm Ryan Garcia, joined by Chris as always. We put Sam on the temporarily inactive list. He's on vacation, and we've activated Chris from Fireside Baseball, and he's in for today's podcast. Chris, how we doing? How we feeling after a series win against the Atlanta Braves in the Bronx?
Really good. Another good series win over a playoff team. I know that the offense isn't kind of where we want it to be, but, you know, feeling good, you know, getting in the win column at least two out of three times against a really good baseball team.
Yeah, and I think, again, we'll talk a little bit about Sunday's loss because I think it was like a winnable baseball game, and you can certainly point to flaws in the offense that have been a flaw ever since Aaron Judge went down. But what you saw this series was you had your three horses go out there in one series, which is always a treat, right? When you get to see Cole, Fried, and Schlittler pitch back to back to back. And oh boy, they delivered. They were all stupendous. They were all superb. The reason the Yankees won each and every game of that series, had a chance and had a chance on Sunday, is because of brilliant starting pitching. Chris, I want to start there because I think we've had such little good to talk about during the stretch where the offense has been down. Like, they've been basically a 500 team. The Rays have surged, the Red Sox have surged, so it feels like you're less certain about your positioning as like, well, when we're healthy, we're the best team in the American League. But this rotation reminded you, man, with these three guys, there isn't anybody I feel like this team cannot beat. I really do feel that way.
No, I agree. And it's like you're hopeful that, like, obviously the offense and the pitching kind of peak at the same time. But I do want to talk about the pitching for a quick sec, Ryan. This is the first time that we've seen all three of them go in a row and all three of them be really efficient. I mean, there are times where Max Fried, long innings, kind of inflates the pitch count. There are times when Cam Schlittler, long innings, chasing strikeouts, can inflate the pitch count. But all three of them were very, very efficient. I mean, you're looking up fifth inning, 50 pitches, sixth inning, 60 pitches. It's like, okay, we are staying at about a 10 pitch an inning clip. And it's because all three of these guys, when they're at their best, they're attacking the strike zone and missing barrels. So it's a treat to watch them all three, boom, 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 kind of cut through this lineup. And they all do it a little bit uniquely. Cam obviously is pumping fastballs. Actually, Garrett Cole, this last start was very fastball heavy, but they, again, limiting damage, staying in the strike zone, limiting walks, and having really quick innings. It was awesome to see. And I wanted to ask you, do you think that they all feel a little bit more comfortable pumping in strikes with George Lombard playing short?
You know, it's interesting. I did want to actually touch on the defense this episode because I feel like it's an unsung hero. Like, it's not just Lombard, who is a phenomenal defender.
McMahon was incredible.
Luis Garcia Jr. at first base and Ben Rice at DH against right-handed pitching, game changer. Because before, what they would have to do is go, okay, we're going to put Goldie in at first. He can't hit righties. It's like a 580 OPS, but at least we're getting good defense. Garcia's giving you that really strong defense. He's making all the plays. He made a brilliant play in extra innings in the same inning where Lombard makes that great play in the hole. You feel like your infield defense is starting to gel. I know Jazz at the error, but I think true talent-wise, you know, offensively, I think he's really lost a step. I still think defensively, the tools are there for him to be a strong defender. And if my biggest question in the infield defensively is like Jazz Chisholm Jr., I feel good about my infield. That's a very strong defensive infield. And I think it does help these pitchers. I think it's keeping, you know, the defense isn't betraying them. And I think infield defense a little bit more important than outfield defense at times, just because of the impact of each position. I really do believe this team has really fortified itself defensively, and you complement that with great starting pitching and a back end of the bullpen in Bednar, Hedrick. Those two I feel very good about. Cruz and Byrne, I think, on any given day can give you something. I think the rotation, when you slide some guys from the rotation to the bullpen, it'll get better. I wish they added a reliever. Do not get me wrong. But again, this pitching staff, right? Like, wow. Just wow. You know, Chris, I looked at the schedule. Last 29 games the Yankees have played, they have faced one team that's a below average offense, Cardinals. So for 26 out of the 29 games they've played, they have faced above average offenses. It's the Rays, the Nationals, Dodgers, Pirates, Phillies. Oh, Phillies are the other below average team. Sorry. White Sox, Cubs, Cardinals, Braves. They went 17-2 in that 12 in that stretch. 17-12. Like, I think it feels worse. Like, you feel like you're losing. You feel like you should be ripping off a crazy stretch when you get this kind of starting pitching. But given how decimated they are on the position player side of the ball, it's such a strong reflection of their pitching staff. Their pitching staff is going up against the best of the best, man. The best of the best that baseball can throw at you. And they're just shutting him down. You want to know what the starter's doing over this stretch, Chris? 2.91 ERA, 2.71 FIP, 23.6% strikeout to walk rate. 23.6%. I mean, this rotation is absolutely disgusting. It is ridiculous. The bullpen's been very strong. Like, this pitching staff is, I'm going to put my flag on it now, it's the best pitching staff they've ever had in the Aaron Judge era.
Okay. They're gross. I mean, you go out there, and I did this yesterday. Mm-hmm. I almost expect my starters to not give up any runs.
Yeah.
Like, at the clip that they're pitching when they're hot, like, I go out there, and I'm watching Cam Schlittler pitch, and it's like, I don't want to see a run.
It's like skewing how
the starts feel because they're so dominant.
Will Warren is the biggest victim of this rotation because he's a mediocre starting pitcher who is like the most hated starter on the team because he's very clearly not as good. Like, it was funny hearing the broadcast. Michael Kay's and Max Fried, they're so good. Cam Schlittler might win the Cy Young. Ryan Weathers has looked very good as of late. Will Warren gives you a good effort every time.
Will Warren gives you a good effort is the biggest insult ever.
And it's crazy because, like, I was thinking about this in my head. This version of Will Warren starts game one of the LDS last year. He gets the ball over Luis Gil.
Absolutely.
He does. But that's how much better this rotation has been. And I wanted to look at the numbers because I was like, am I a prisoner of the moment? Which I can be. Best ERA minus, 2026 Yankees. Best FIP minus, 2026 Yankees. Best XFIP minus. So these are league adjusted. It's important because, like, the 2019 season, the balls were flying. It's not the same run environment as 2026. So that's why it's important to look at. By strikeout to walk rate, they're trumped by a couple of teams, 2021, 2022, 2020. What I also will note is this is not a league adjusted stat. Strikeout rates were higher in those 3 years than they were this year. So that's also important to know. It's easier to strike people out then than it is now. There's just a little bit more contact in the game. Some of the rule changes have really incentivized all that. Point is, this is literally the best rotation they've ever had in the Aaron Judge era.
Yeah.
And they haven't even been that healthy. This is not the healthiest rotation of the Aaron Judge era. Carlos Rodon's going to end up with like 70 innings pitched this year if we're lucky.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so, and you're looking at it, and this is the first time that, like, Fried and Cole have been healthy teammates together. Like, this is the first time. I mean, obviously, like, the Yankees signed Fried and then Cole had Tommy John a year ago. But, like, there hasn't been a time where all three of them have been in the same rotation together. And it's like, I don't know. I assume that Rodon replaces Warren, right? And Warren goes to the pen once Rodon is back.
Yeah, that's what I would assume happens. And I think
it'll be a lot of lefties, though. Do you worry about that many lefties in the rotation?
You know, I would worry about it if they weren't good. Like, can I just, like, it's Max Fried. Like, Max Fried could throw at his feet. It's Max Fried. I will say in a postseason series, it would matter a little more. But, you know, Cole and Schlittler are pitching the first three games of the series. Now, I think Fried will pitch game two to split up the righties.
You want to break them apart. You want to go righty, lefty, righty.
Right. I also think that's dependent on matchup. You know, a good point that has been made to me, in just kind of back channels and talking to people who, I really enjoy talking to about the Yankees. You know, you can play this by matchup. Let's say you're facing the Rays kind of struggle sometimes against lefties, if I'm not mistaken. Just as an example, you face a team like the Red Sox. They kill lefties, from my understanding. I think they are, versus left-handed pitching, 113 WRC plus, 93 versus righties. Okay, let's push Fried out of game two. Now, also, like, the environment, like, are we playing a wild card series in Fenway or Yankee Stadium? Let's say you're playing a wild card series at Fenway. Maybe you don't want to throw Cole in game two. You don't want to do that. There are things you can, but, like, you can tinker around because the quality gap between Fried and Cole is minimal. Although Fried has been so good. I think Fried is one of the most underrated pitchers in baseball right now. He's having just a ridiculous season. Rodon's an option if you have to. You can use him as a bulk guy. Warren, like, Ryan Weathers is straight up a good starter. Like, I don't think Ryan Weathers belongs in the same camp as Will Warren. He's just straight up good. Like, Ryan Weathers is just really good.
And what is his ERA down to right now?
It's 3.79, which is good. It's a good ERA. Like, that's firmly above average. He's got a 26% strikeout rate. He's got a 47% ground ball rate. I was looking at this. I think it's like him and Jesus Luzardo are the only guys with a strikeout rate that high and a ground ball rate that high. it's a pretty damn good pitcher. You know, Jesus Luzardo's pretty freaking good. Really, really, really well paid, 200 plus mil, right? I think that's what his extension was. So
yeah, Jesus got paid.
Yeah, Jesus Lizard. That's his nickname, I think, right? It's a good nickname. Ryan Weathers, he's a better, maybe even like Weatherman works, but I think Jesus Lizard's, he's got a beat on the nickname.
I'm with it.
But, you know, I do want to touch on the offense. Unfortunately, we do have to spend time talking about them. I don't know if you have any other notes other on the rotation, but unfortunately, we do have to talk about the offense. It's not the most fun, but I want to start with the fun parts of this. I think Lombard has continued to impress me with his at-bats. Mm. Like, he faced some pretty good pitchers. He faced Chris Sale. The back end of the Braves' bullpen is remarkable. It's a very good bullpen. And I've been very impressed with the at-bats. The, you know, he didn't knock around Iglesias or anything. He got a slow dribble. He beats it out. He forces a two-base error in the first game that they look destined to lose and drop into third place. But then later in that game, the next plate appearance, because it was a walk, Chris, I was so impressed. I just all weekend, great plate appearances. The challenges against Sale. He knows the zone so well. Chris, what did you see from Lombard this weekend, and how impressed were you with his offensive production?
Just a hyper-mature professional hitter. I mean, like, the one thing that you're always going to get with Lombard that makes you feel good about kind of the success rate over the course of 5 to 10 years is that every at-bat is going to be a really competitive at-bat. I mean, just talking about it on the broadcast, against Chris Sale, it was 2 9-pitch at-bats. Like, even the strikeout was a 9-pitch at-bat because he's going to fight pitches off. He's patient. He doesn't chase. And again, he's just going to battle. And then also, like, the ability to, at this age, feel very, very comfortable letting the ball travel when you're facing a really good pitcher. I mean, the home run that he hit, he let the ball travel and committed to kind of hitting it the other way. Is he ever going to be the most powerful hitter? Absolutely not. But he's a guy that, like, with the baseball IQ, with the at-bat quality, he's going to be a 2020 candidate. It feels like once you get his first full season for the entire year.
Yeah, and I think, again, what you highlight with just the mature at-bat, the competitive at-bat every time, it's something that he really emphasized when he was doing his press conference before his debut, where mm-hmm. he was like, my mentality isn't going to have a competitive at-bat. Like, I know I can't get a hit every time, but and I can all, have a
that's
good
what
at-bat
he's been, That's what he's been all through the minors, too. Like, that yeah. that has been a staple, and a part of me thinks it's because of the lineage, because, you come from a father who played in the MLB, and you've been around this. But, like, it is, like, I don't know if I'm overreacting. It's the best at bat on the team. Like, it looks like a competitive Paul Goldschmidt at bat sometimes.
I would have to agree with you. I don't think you're being unreasonable, nor do I think you're jumping to any crazy conclusions here. It feels like he has the most mature at bats on the team.
And now, it's not surprising too. You and I have watched Lombard for a long time. It's the best at bat on the team, and it's also what you and I expected at bat wise on the team.
Yeah, and I think what he's like, I think there are things you can see that he still has to work on, right? Like, the high fastball gets him a little bit more than you'd like. I think early in counts, like, there is a little bit of like, hey, like, we get a pitch to hit and it's 0-1 or 1-0 or 0-0. Like, we can offer at that pitch. But I think those are things that are going to take time. Like, we are a week into this.
Yeah,
we're not even a full week into it.
He's going to take that 0-0 off speed pitch middle. Like, he's just
yeah, that's a. It's something that, like, I'm not saying he's got to swing at it every time. It's just you want to see more of it as he gets more comfortable. But mm-hmm. right now, with the way that he's working at bats, like, you're right. He's a tough at bat. He forces you to go into the zone, and he's comfortable two strikes. That's the other thing. He is, like, oddly comfortable two strikes. I think I've often complained that there are some guys on this team who think they're way better at two strike hitting than they actually are, where it's like, I'll go down 0-1. It's like, You shouldn't go down 0-1. Mm-hmm. You have no business going down 0-1 in a count. But I actually think Lombard, like, I think he is capable of doing that. And you know, again, I want to give him more time. I think we all want to, like, sit back and wait and not jump to any crazy conclusions here. But you do feel like you're watching a guy who is mature beyond his years. He's got a great head on his shoulder, which I think is a big thing here. You know, you see the way he carries himself. You know, the lineage. You talk about him being from a baseball background. Everything you read about this guy and his family, it's like cherry on top, not even cherry, whipped cream. Oh, here's a chocolate drizzle. Here's a caramel glaze.
Winners get sprinkles.
He's it's, you know, and that's not just, obviously I'm not praising George Lombard Jr. for the actions of people before him. Like, that doesn't make sense. But I'm just saying, like, it does, it leads me to believe that when this kid struggles, I can call him a kid, he's younger than me. When this kid struggles, there is a, like, he is comfortable struggling. He is, think about every level he's played in. I mean, like, last year, I'm kind of shocked everyone's kind of forgotten about this so quickly. Last year was a bad year for him. He like, last year did not go. Right, like, last year was not the year that I think the Yankees hoped for, that I think he hoped for. And there's a pressure, like, the way that his developmental curve looks is far more encouraging to me than most of the Yankees' top prospects. It reminds me, it's more akin to Ben Rice than it is to, like, a Volpe Dominguez. Where, like, it started out here. Dominguez started out here. Volpe's hype was never that high until 21, but that was his first pro season. First pro season finishes 2021. It's his best season as a pro. It's never he's gradually declined from that point in time. His rookie season and his second season were his two best seasons in the big leagues. Everything else since has been a far cry from that. Dominguez, right? Dominguez's best years were like 22 and 23. He tears his UCL. He hasn't looked the same since. Rice was 24 in single A, right? You gotta have a good, you've gotta be really sound in between here to be 24 in single A and go, I still got this. Lombard, you know, again, top prospect, good signing bonus, good back. Like, I'm sure he wasn't wondering about his future in baseball as a whole last year.
He was one of the top five high schoolers in his class. Right.
But again, like, it's, hey man, he didn't have the year he was looking for, and he took massive steps forward. He's stronger. He's still very fast. I think he's a better defender. He takes better at bats. And again, when he struggles, I'm confident that what's in between here is going to keep him from getting too high or too low. And I love agree. That about the player, you know?
I mean, it was a cool moment right after the home run, coming right into the dugout, high five, and then it's all right. Back to being a nerd, like back to being a real baseball nerd. Like, let's talk about how this pitch is moving. Let me coach guys up. I mean, just super mature. The swing's very inside out. I love it. I mean, I know that, like, all the throwback Yankee fans are going to be appreciative of that. And honestly, should have had another hit yesterday and a line shot that got snagged by the first baseman. That would have screamed trouble.
It was kind of like the defining theme of that game. Where, like,
unlucky.
Yeah, it was poor luck. Like, I'm going to sit here and say, like, I was frustrated they didn't win the game. The 10th inning frustrated me, because that's like, all right, man, you just got to move a guy over 90 feet twice. Yeah. You just got to do it twice. Move 180 feet, I guess. You can get two outs and still score the guy. But I didn't think, like, they lost that. I didn't think they lost that game based on bad at bats. I think they lost the game based on they hit some balls on the screws. Those balls didn't go to the right places. You got to. It's unfortunate. Like, I'm not trying to dismiss the importance of winning a game like that. You should still try. Like, I really want to emphasize this, but I also want to note that didn't look like Friday up until the walk-off. That looked like Friday was bad at bats. Yeah. One note I do want to make on Lombard before we change topics, and I'll give you obviously a chance to talk about this as well. Did you see that Brian Hoke tweet where Spencer Jones is talking about George Lombard Jr.? He said George Lombard Jr. was already quizzing teammates about Grant Holmes, Atlanta starters, for Sunday afternoon. He said he's super mature for his age. He loves baseball. We were just eating now, and he's talking about the pitcher for tomorrow. It kind of just shows you where his head is at. That, like, that's special to me. You know, that's really, that there's a buzz to this kid. Did you see the clip? I think it was either Dan Rourke. I think Dan Rourke, yes, Yankees Avenue. He's the one who, like, got the clip of him just, like, talking about Raisel Iglesias.
The movement. Yeah. There's another account on Twitter that cuts all those up.
Yeah. I gotta give them. I do know who that is. Yeah. Too. I think it's John Moxley is how you pronounce it. Cause it's after the wrestler. I'm not big into wrestling.
Oh, so I'm thinking about the one that just cuts up everything that, like, calls Max Fried their wife.
Oh my God. There's like five accounts, I think, that classify.
Yeah.
But I
Sports
do know
Sports live tweeter Yadria.
Yeah, no, that's her. That's what I'm talking about. John, that's her handle. Yeah.
I see it.
Yes. She literally has every single clip, and that was, I all think, that her, it was either hers or, like, it was, I think, either Dan had, like, used the clip, not, like, stole it. Like, I think he embedded the clip, or he got the clip in general. Point is. Yes. Yeah. Like, that was awesome. Yeah, that was super
coming
cool.
in and talking about the two seam run.
Yeah. Just awesome, dude. Like, that's.
No, it is awesome. And here we go. I think having Lombard around is the best thing for Spencer Jones. Spencer Jones is someone that, like, if you soak up 5% of this, we'll love it. And Spencer Jones also had a great series.
Yeah. Series.
And hitting lefties.
His at-bats, I think, ever since the first demotion, have been considerably better. His strikeout rate since the first promotion is down to 33%. We'll take it. I think his Seager score from the last time I checked was just swing decision quality. And we're like far enough into his career where this can start to stabilize a little bit. It's at the 85th percentile. He is an elite swing decision maker. And the underlying numbers are starting to like Jones a little bit more. His expected OPS was never great until like the last few weeks. Like, we're starting to see that trend upwards. I think it's around like 335 since that first demotion. So if I told that, not the expected OPS, that's expected WOBA. I can't actually calculate his expected OPS off the top of my head. I'm not that good at math. If Spencer Jones was 5 to 10% better than league average as an offensive player, he's going to play every single day in the big leagues for a pretty long time.
Mm-hmm.
Is that fair to say?
That's fair. I mean, I think he's going to profile over the course of the next 5 years is really good defensively. It's going to be about, like, you know, how good offensively can he be? Because he has like the Midas touch power. Like, he brings an element of danger. And if the swing decisions get better, that's even more impressive. I thought he got fooled a little bit on the off speed pitch that sailed through him that he hit the triple on. He got fooled. Weight was coming forward a little bit early and still laced it for a triple. I like where he's at. And I used to hate watching the bottom of our lineup hit.
Yeah.
I love watching Lombard to Jones. I love it.
I agree. No, I agree. And I think, you know, this was a series that makes you go, hey, man, look, you want to say who cares if this rotation can shut down like the Phillies?
Mm-hmm.
I could shut down the Phillies. That team can't. The Blue Jays are 2 out of 3 from them. You want to say, all right, well, the White Sox are a first place team, but they're really not that good. That's fine. That's fine. They shut down the Cubs. Cole pitched brilliantly against the Dodgers. They shut down the Braves. Their pitching kept them in the series against the Nationals. That's why he swept them. Like, this rotation just needs Judge and Bellinger back. This rotation needs Bellinger and Judge back. This lineup needs Bellinger and Judge back. And Stan, it actually looks like he might come back this year. Like, it's starting to trend more in that positive direction. And I think when you start looking at the little things with this lineup, you know, it's Heliot Ramos not having to play against righties, right? Yeah. It's not having to, you know, and I think even with Jones, right, like the skills sometimes can be redundant with this lineup where, like, he strikes out a ton, everyone in this lineup strikes out a ton. So you do wonder, like, the long-term viability, but it does also, or not long-term, short-term viability, but it also does kind of do like a, hey, like, Jones, you have enough time, enough runway where, you know, Grisham hasn't hit very well. He had a big home run, but, you know, you have an actual, like, there's a chance to beat him out for a job. Can you do it?
Oh, well, I was going to ask you, like, at what point do you consider playing Jones and spent in center field over Grisham?
This is the point in time when I would do it. So this is like I've never really been a believer that Jones should play over Grisham just based on the skills. Like, I think Grisham will give me, I think Grisham has a higher chance of producing an above average OPS than Jones does this year.
Okay.
Just this year. But if over the next 3 weeks we see Jones's at-bats continue to improve, like we continue to see the upward trajectory, Grisham's going in the wrong direction, not just in terms of OPS. Like, I have seen Trent Grisham have a bad OPS over a month and have good underlying numbers. This is bad OPS, bad underlying numbers. His process has gotten worse. Now, I hope this home run's a springboard for him. You want as many good players as possible. You want to have a situation where both Jones and Grisham are playing well. But for Jones, like, hey, man, go grab it. If he puts up let's say he's at like a 110 WRC plus on August 31st, and that's when Bellinger and Stanton /Judge are back. Like, two of those three are back. Because if one of them comes back, you can still play Jones and Grisham. You can still do it. Then you just, you play him. Unless Grisham's, like, if Grisham's at like a 100, he's at a 110. Mm-hmm. They're both, like, Jones looks a little rough in center sometimes. He looks very good in the corners.
Really good in the corners.
You play Jones. You just play the best player available. I don't care who it is. I just care it's the better player. If Jones is out playing Grisham, you got to play him.
Yeah.
You just do. He can hit lefties. And I'm more thinking about, like, huge deal.
Like, defensive alignment wise, like Trent is really sound in center, but he looks so limited athletically right now. Like,
he can't go back on the ball. Dog.
No, he can't.
When he doesn't get a great jump over his head every single time. every single time. He doesn't have the athleticism or the size. He's not like above average in either regard. Judge, if you remember, Judge could always turn on center field defense in the postseason. He would be like laughably bad in the regular season. He would miss so many routine plays, or he wouldn't attempt it because like it's the regular season. You're not gonna die for that ball.
I mean, even the game. I mean, the game five against the Dodgers. I know people remember one play he made, but he made a ridiculous play. I think two innings before that. Kind of ranging back and to his right again and running into the wall at full speed, like a ridiculous play.
Yeah, it was. And if you remember the first play of the postseason for the Yankees, they test him out in center field and he just flags that thing down. I also got to give credit to Dan Work here because he's the one who pointed that out on Twitter, I think back then. And I was like, you know what? He's right. Like Judge does have that turn it on factor. I don't think Grisham does. I think he's just like he's lost.
Well, here the other part about Grisham is you don't get to have the turn it on in the playoff factor when you're not hitting that way. Like Judge watched Harper, watched Mike Trout, two guys who went so ridiculously hard in the outfield that it shortened their careers and hurt their teams because of it. So okay, like I don't get to a couple of these balls, so be it. I'll turn it on in the postseason, but I'm also gonna hit 50 bombs. Like I've always felt that like Judge turned it on postseason wise defensively. But again, like Trent doesn't get that same runway because you're not hitting 50 bombs.
If anything, the guy who would like the way that Jones is hitting, you can live with technically not sound, but great athlete. Just because there's a chance that 1 month of bad defense creates the lessons needed to develop that in the postseason. Just it turns on. Like there's a downstream benefit to playing him in center field more. And you know, I also want to give one last note about this offense on a guy I want to give a shout to here, because I personally think what this player is doing is flying under the radar a little bit. I think Wells is taking better at bats.
Yeah, like, dude. Look at his last 30-day splits.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. I wanted to look last 21 games since July 9th. It's a 163 WRC plus, man. And the underlyings are really good here. Just since the injury, just coming back from the injury, the WRC plus isn't great. It's 83, but the XWOB is 312, right? So the expected results are solid. Mind you, this guy doesn't have a platoon partner, which I think is kind of important here. The fact that he doesn't have a platoon partner really does hurt him. I think it does hurt him that he doesn't have a platoon partner.
I mean, if you want to go just like old school slash numbers in the last 30 days, last month, he's hitting 273 with an 862 OPS.
Yeah, that works. That'll play.
Absolutely, dude. We got Cash got us a new catcher.
I gotta say this is I said this to Sam, I think, and I said it's kind of messed up to say out loud, but it makes sense once you say it. I'm glad he was hurt because that gives you like a plausible reason as to why it was so bad. Because if he was just healthy and this bad, oh my God, right? Like you have a real problem on your hands. Also, like I said this before the deadline. This is not post deadline cope. I said this when this article dropped from Chris Kirshner of The Athletic, brilliant beat writer. I know he's away right now due to personal family matters. Sending him love, sending him prayers. Kirshner wrote about how the Yankees like Wells, what he does for the pitchers. And Garrett Cole did multiple interviews talking about how much he likes pitching to Wells. Garrett Cole doesn't give it a part of my French. He doesn't give a shit what like the Yankees want to do at catcher. With Gary, he was like, I'm not pitching to this guy. throw Higgy back there. And then when it was Jose Trevino hurt and Higgy at the start, he's like, I'm not pitching to Kyle Gashioka. Give me Ben Wortvedt. Like he does not care what the Yankees want. He cares about what works for his process. Austin Wells is the first starting catcher that Cole has thrown to. He's always thrown to the backups. He's the first starting catcher he's thrown to.
That's incredible.
I'm sorry. You can't ignore the value of Austin Wells behind the dish anymore. I've raked over the coals about pitch calling at times. He's dialed it in. He's such an integral part of that thing. And like, if you want to sell me defense first at catcher, I'll always listen to that argument. I'll always listen to the argument. And I like the idea that they picked up Mitch Garver because I do think he can actually be that like veteran, give you an at bat. I looked at like some of the plate discipline numbers, even in his old years, he can still like grind out an at bat. He takes pitches out of zone. I think he's going to be a nice offensive complement when they get him up to speed. I thought it was pretty telling. Ali Sanchez didn't catch a single game this series.
Nope.
Not one. The pitchers don't, I don't think the pitchers like throwing to him. I just don't. I'm not saying it's personal. He's new. That's part of it. I think if the Yankees had Ally Sanchez, the backup catcher, on opening day, his transition would have been more smooth. But he just, sometimes he's too like, he turns on like Yadier Molina highlights or Ivan Rodriguez highlights in the dugout. And the guy's like, I'm doing that. I'm doing that. And it's like, dude, no, it was like,
the snap throw did him in.
Bro, I think it's so funny that he called the pitch out. Bednar steps off, and then he gets back on the mound. He's like, does it again. And Bednar's like, what? There's one out. The guy's on first. I just walked him. Like, I don't give a I don't care about the. I'm not. You're not gonna gun. You're not gunning him out. I don't care. We're gonna get this guy. And guess what? The guy ended up stealing second, and he never left second base after. He ended the game on second base.
It's Yadier Molina highlights on my iPad.
You got any final notes about this series or anything before we get into Aspen Vodka Player of the Series? And
no, man, just excited. I think the Yankees are at least pitching really well. I'm excited about the young kids. And what are we, 2 weeks out from Belly coming back?
Yeah, it looks so it looks like Belly's doing very well. Yeah, Rodon made a rehab start too, so that's kind of huge. I think Rodon's better than Will Warren. So, like, you know,
yeah,
man, we really I just feel so bad for
Didn't Will Warren really good start his last time out?
He was fine against the Cardinals. He was very good against the Cubs. That's how that went.
That's probably what I'm thinking about.
Like, dude, he's an eighth round pick, and he's a big leaguer. It's just like, but you're not as good as the other guys. So you can go scratch. Like, I feel bad. We'll do a little ad break here, and then we'll head into our Aspen Vodka Player of the Series and our series previews. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this quick break. I'm just going to edit it after.
Yeah, no, you're good.
Welcome back to the Fireside Yankees podcast. I'm Ryan. That's Chris. Yankees take the series from the Braves, and I think there are plenty of players worthy of superlatives. Chris, Aspen Vodka Player of the Series here. We hand this out to the top performing player of the series, brought to you by Aspen Vodka, a proud partner of Fireside Yankees. You can get their Bronx mocktails or their espresso martinis at the ballpark. Actually, Chris and I had a Bronx mocktail. We went all the way back in April against the A's, and it was freezing, but that drink
it was so cold. Had to drink to stay warm, and we actually attempted the 999 challenge.
Oh, you know, I gotta say, Chris, one of my favorite moments about the season was when you walked down those steps. You had three glizzies loaded up with the ketchup. You just had the we're all like huddling because it's cold. We're all just like huddling.
We're like some penguins, dude.
Some meat rockets, some ketchup, and some cuddling. I mean, that's baseball, man.
Yeah, man.
Chris, who would you give this honor to of the Aspen Vodka Player of the Series?
Is this corny, dude? Like George, man. Like, it's gotta be George. I believe what he reached base in every game, put together some great at bats. I mean, the back-to-back challenges against Chris Sale, followed up by the Spencer Jones triple to go ahead and score. Like, what is it? What do the old heads love to yell at us about in terms of like analytics? Like winning baseball. George Lombard Jr. does everything that you want a winning baseball player to do, and he's doing it at such a young age. And the fact that like immediately quizzing other teammates about the next pitcher, I'm giving it to George Lombard Jr. The defense has been incredible. The offense has been better than advertised. And the moment doesn't feel too big for him. And it was good to see a little bit of extra emotion after the second home run he hit, which I thought was really good. But I do need him to stop blowing out tires. That's two slips and falls on the Yankee grass.
I tweeted this out. He has slipped and he has had a slip and fall in every game he's hit a home run in. So if he hits a home run against the Mariners, guaranteed. Just tie it. George, you hit a home run, man. Let's relace him. Let's relace him after the home run.
Honestly, I like that better than. Never mind. I was gonna make a Volpe come. Volpe used to have the air in the home run right after. That was
that was his specialty last year. That was. I remember the Rays series. He almost like bottled it in the ninth or in the tenth, and right after like being the hero and tying the game. I think it was
Mariners.
Against the Rays.
Is that Rays or Mariners?
You know, man, they're like. I think they're legitimately like five examples of that. Or might actually be five examples.
He had the crazy aura moment against the Marlins right after the trade deadline.
Yes.
He destroyed that baseball. I mean, hit him with the chill out, y'all. I got us. I do love Volpe. I do love Volpe. Hey, there is a take that me and Ryan recorded quietly.
Please. Because he's playing second now.
And Sam and Ryan called me a madman when this happened. I told them. When was this? This was a long time.
This was like in March. This was before the seasons. This might have been the winter. This could have been the winter, to be honest.
I told them both, and they both looked at me and said I was crazy. I said, you guys get ready. Lombard's coming up. He's going to be the shortstop, and Anthony Volpe is going to be your second baseman next year and beyond.
You know, I'm going to be honest. I still don't want the second base thing. I don't want
it. You're saying you don't want it. I was telling you what was going to happen.
Oh, you're right. Like, I think you're right. But yeah, but I don't want
at the time you guys called me a madman.
Can I just also say this with Volpe and the whole Lombard thing? I do think there are a lot of people who are going to like praise literally everything Lombard does because he's not Anthony Volpe.
Mm-hmm.
And I recognize that, like, there's going to be unfair coverage.
I'm not going to turn them against each other. I refuse
right,
to do
right.
it.
Right. No. I fully agree. They're different players. It's a different story. Like, I totally, you know, but what I will say is, like, it is very interesting to me. Volpe, you can't talk about Anthony Volpe without getting slammed. Like,
I know.
Let's say I were to tweet out, I think Anthony Volpe, man, people are too mean to him. I'm going to get slammed for it.
Mm-hmm.
If I tweet out, this guy sucked. This guy wasn't a good hitter. Like, it was just a disappointing tenure. I'm going to get slammed. Like, I think this is a player who, like, he is just an engagement player. You tweet about him, you're going to be a topic of conversation, whether you like it or not. So I think for that sake, I've avoided ever, like, trying to, like, tweet about Volpe over the last couple of weeks just because it's like, I'm good.
I also don't want to George or Volpe. Like, and this is going to sound crazy, Ryan. I have sadness in my heart for Volpe.
No, I do too. I talked about this with, I did this on the live stream, when George came up. I was like, I'm sad for his story. Like, his story, he's pretty hated. That sucks. It sucks for the guy.
For somebody that grew up in Jersey and just loves the Yankees.
Yeah, I'm going to be frank. He's probably got buddies who's like, dude, you couldn't fucking make that play in the World Series. You couldn't make that done. But I will say this, like, on the flip side, if somebody wants to pay me $3.8 million to get laughed at on Twitter, I'll give you my Chase information. Just let me know.
I guess because he was such a big Yankees fan, he gets hated like he's a bad person, but in reality, maybe there was some mismanagement of his development. Maybe it was never meant to be a shortstop. I'm not going to sit there and pretend like Volpe was never a really good defender, because there was a time pre-shoulder injury where he was a great defender.
Yeah,
and he was making the sparkler. So I don't know. I do feel sad for Volpe. Growing up a Yankee fan, and all you wanted to do was be the shortstop of the New York Yankees, and people hate your guts. And the thing about Volpe is, it's never ever been about a lack of effort. And a lot of times when players get hated, that's one of the things it is. It's about, like, a lack of effort, not doing the right things. Volpe always, always emptied the tank for this team.
Yeah, it's a shame. It really is a shame. Like, I think it's a shame for all the reasons you mentioned. I don't think I think as long as it's never personal, like, criticism of a player not playing well is fine. Like,
oh yeah, no, like, I agree, but
there's a line. I think we all know that there's a
step up of vitriol,
right? Like,
Volpe, because you're the shortstop of the Yankees, and honestly, the Volpe hatred is just an extension of Boone hatred,
and I would even say an extension of Cashman hatred. If you were like,
yeah, that's a better way to put it.
It's if you don't follow the exact path that the fans want you to follow, which I'm not criticizing fans for. I'm just saying, like, this is, I think, a good way to detail this relationship. If you don't, like, I think it all started by not signing a shortstop. If they had signed a shortstop, I actually think Volpe's looked at differently. I think, again, it's one of those things where if the fans have something to rake the front office over the coals for, they're going to take it and run with it. Because here's the set, like, and I'm victim to this as well.
Usually the front office beats the fan base on these things.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
and this time they didn't.
No, and this time they didn't. And they were very brazen about it. Like the Yankees are very outspoken about it. Like, I don't think it helped to have, like, the Brian Cashman quote saying, and then when he smashes next year, you can come talk to me. Or, like, you know, Aaron Boone's, like, I don't think it's bad to defend a player. I'm not, like, criticizing him for
checking Meredith by saying he's fucking elite.
Right. Like just the attitude. I think it's like an attitude thing where it's like, if you're going to, like, if you're going to tell me with an attitude that a player is very good and they're not very good, I'm going to be like, so you're an asshole for what? Like, why were you an asshole? This guy,
you know what it is. You know what it reeks of? This is the air. This is Boone and Cashman wanted to be right so bad.
Yeah.
When everybody else wants you to get it right. George Lombard is should be considered separate from the whole Volpe saga. Volpe is about being right. With George, the focus is on getting it right.
Yeah, you know, I agree. Right,
yeah, it becomes an issue. But
look, man, I think, you know, you and I have you know, you've podcasted for longer than I have, but I think you and I have the experience. Like, we know what it's like to, like, believe in a player and want them to be good, and they're not good, and they got to, like, eat shit for it. And like, that sucks. Well,
one of the things that I was always told, though, coming up, shout out Jeff Kinsbach, was, look, you can make a statement, but don't die on that. Like, when you get new information, pivot off of that. And I think, like, as a podcaster, when I do that and I can accept that, again, I'm not making millions of dollars and don't have a whole New York market breathing on my back. When I watch that, I can understand a fan base getting upset when you're seeing, like, Cashman and Boone try to be right and then also kind of gaslight you a little bit. But, you know, it's whatever. But that's your second baseman of the future. And I think he's going to be a very, very good second baseman.
Yeah, I agree. I'll get my final lick in on this, and then I think we can move to series previews.
Well, no, you gotta get your player of the series.
Oh, I'll get my final lick in, and then I'll get my player of the series, and then we'll go to series previews. What I'll say is, like, I'll even use, like, Grisham as an example. I was a staunch defender that it was a good idea to keep him for this year. His defense looks the same as it did post-hamstring injury last year. That's one. Number two, his quality of contact has declined. He's not the same player. Like, the evaluation I had of him on, I even say, like, May, on like June 5th, can't be the same as it is right now because everything is backslid from an underlying standpoint. And I think the Yankees, it would have behooved the Yankees to, at some point, just have come about this with a little less arrogance to it. And not like a, yeah, you're right, you know, he's really not that good. More of like a, you know, we think this guy could be a really good player. You know, we think he's our best option at shortstop. And you know, that's fine. Like, I just think I think everyone doesn't, there are comments that people don't want to have end up being right. And I think that's also like a failure on the fan base in the sense of, like, if you're rooting against Volpe to play well because you want to be right, like, that's weird. Much like, there's a lot of that.
Yeah, dude, I live in Northeast Ohio. That's the Browns.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, I was a Browns fan at one point. I think there was a lot of, like, I want to be.
The fan base will actively root against players to be right.
Yes, yes. Yeah, like, I think there's a contingent of, like, Browns fans who will, like, hope that Baker Mayfield wins the Super Bowl so that they can, like, rake the franchise over the coals over that rather than, like, rooting for their team to win the Super Bowl because it would make them feel, like, vindicated. That's, like, it's just a sports thing. It's not a New York thing only.
Yeah.
For my player of the series, it's going to be like a far less dramatic one. I'm giving it to Max Fried. I could have given it to Schlittler. I will say that the difference here is that I feel like we talk so much about Cam Schlittler. Like, Max Fried is a 2.40 FIP this year and a 2.37 expected ERA.
Yeah, he's so
he's good. Ridiculous.
And it's against his former team. Emotions kind of running high a little bit.
He has been awesome since coming back from the injured list. I do feel like, so I was a little bit worried right around the Brewers start. I actually remember tweeting this. I was like, if his command is going to look like this, he can't start game one of your playoff series. It's got to be Cam. In five starts, he had 13 walks and 30 and two-third innings pitch. It was so unlike Fried. And so, again, Austin Wells kind of comparison here. The comfort of knowing that he was hurt was like, oh, that's why his command is gone. Like, that makes sense. All right, when he comes back, you know, he's going to be fine. And, yeah, he's been awesome. He is a 106 location plus. He has a 1.83 ERA. He's striking out over 34% of batters faced. His fastball velocity is up a tick. He looks awesome. He looks like honest to God, if Max Fried was number one of this pitching staff, I'd still feel really good about this pitching staff. Bingo. But he's like the number two, maybe the number three, depending on how you feel about Garrett Cole. So I'm thrilled, Chris. I'm thrilled. I love good pitching.
I'm thrilled too.
I love good pitching.
And, like, at this point in the summer, remember last year, right around the All-Star break, he had the blister and was having some horrid starts. We have not seen the stop the bleeding starts from Max Fried.
Yeah. No, he has been awesome. His command is back. Like, he looks, again, like, you can look at the earlier season walk rates and go, it's because he was pitching hurt. Mm-hmm. Duh. Right now, it's like, again, back then, it was like, is something wrong here? He's an older guy, not old, but, you know, he's older pitcher. He's 32, you know, like, the stuff hasn't looked sharp. Like, what's going on here? And it's like, just on some arm troubles. We fixed those up. He's good now.
Yeah.
He's awesome. He's great. He's literally like the best run preventer of the 2020s. So I love it. That one's pretty easy. Series preview here. Yankees are playing the Seattle Mariners for three games, Chris, at the Bronx. We just went through a stretch where we threw out our three guys, and the Mariners are like, hey, let's return serve here. The Yankees will have Ryan Weathers against Brian Wu, Will Warren against Bryce Miller, and Max Fried against Logan Gilbert in an ace-off. Now, Wu has struggled a little bit this year, but Miller has been ridiculous. Really, I mean, Bryce Miller is a 3.08 ERA. He has a 26% strikeout rate and a 5% walk rate. Brian Wu has had struggles, but he's still a strikeout machine, and it feels like he owns the Yankees at Yankee Stadium. Like, it's weird. Seattle's more hitter is more pitcher friendly. Yankee Stadium's more hitter friendly. It feels like we get him at the pitcher friendly park and at the hitter more. Yankee Stadium is hitter friendly per se, but homer friendly. I feel like we just don't do well against Brian Wu.
He took a no hitter into the eighth last year,
and we won that game.
Yeah. Had the cool one between him and Jazz when Jazz broke up the no hitter.
Yes, and I think it was Stanton who delivered the 3-run home run, and Wells had the 2-out. Wells has a knack for it. Like this, on Friday.
This time of year, big hit Wells.
Yeah. I'm gonna say I feel. Like, I think we have the starting pitching disadvantage in this series, which is kind of unique to say, but like Weathers has outpitched Wu and Free has outpitched Gilbert. So like, I feel like we can take 2 of 3 here, Chris. How do you feel about this?
I would like 2 of 3. Yeah. I mean, I could see it. It's unique because like Weathers has outperformed Wu, but like I'm so obsessed with Wu.
Yes, I agree with you.
I mean, we've seen it over the last month. Guys who miss bats dominate and carve up our lineup.
Yeah.
So I would not be surprised if Brian Wu carves him up.
It's also weird. You know, the Mariners are reflective of Brian Wu. The Mariners are 56-63. Like, we should be talking about, man, this team's a pushover. We should beat them. We should beat the brakes off.
They're the best sub 60 win team there is.
And Brian Wu is like the best 4 ERA pitcher in the league.
Yeah.
Paul Skeens is getting close to that. Paul Skeens is on the precipice of taking that title because he's at 3-9.
Like Will Warren has a better ERA than Brian Wu.
And he pitches, again, like they pitch at a very pitcher-friendly ballpark. What's also weird is they hit worse on the road than they do at home, which it just doesn't sound right. On the road, they're a really bad pitching team. They have a 4.32 ERA on the road, 4.24 when you look at their active roster. The rotation's very strong on the road. The bullpen's where they have some leaks on that side of the ball. I feel like we should take 2 out of 3, but like the Mariners are talented enough. We're like, oh, Randy Rosarena tortured you for a series. Julio Rodriguez tortured you for a series. Cal Raleigh woke up finally. Like it feels weird. This team isn't better than they actually are. It's like, I refuse to believe they're bad.
It's, but they might be. It's wild that Cal hasn't woken up yet.
If you like, I've thought about, man, like how the hell did Jazz go from like where he was last year to this year? And it's like, all right, like that's fairly stunning. Don't get me wrong. What Cal Raleigh's doing is unfathomable. Like it's like there's a difference between going from I didn't think it was going to repeat last year.
I thought he was going to have a pretty significant like decline this year, but I thought that significant decline would be like a 785 OPS.
It was gonna like I was gonna be like, oh, he's gonna go back to being like a 4-5 win catcher. Yeah. He is Austin Wells-ing it. He's having Austin Wells this season.
Isn't he worse than Austin Wells so far?
Not by OPS plus, but by XWOBA, yes. And he's a worse defender this year than Austin Wells. Mm. Like, Austin Wells is outplaying Cal Raleigh right now.
Yeah, which if you said that before the year, you'd be like, oh my God, we're going to run away with the division.
Yes, it's just, this is just a mid-off. This is just an uninspiring mid-off. Yeah, man, I just hope he doesn't wake up.
You know what's crazy about the Cal Raleigh thing? If he wouldn't have signed his extension at the beginning of last year, if he would have waited till the end of it, he would have gotten an even bigger extension, and that would have made this year even worse in terms of like.
It would have made it even worse in terms of optics too if he randomly declined after hitting 60 something home runs. Like I don't believe in the cheating allegations, but everyone's going to do this every time.
Well, it just would have been like, dang, what did you do to get this contract?
Yeah,
and now like
Cam Caminiti. Ruined. Oh wait, no. Is that the Braves guy? I'm thinking of his dad. Is it Ken Caminiti?
Probably.
Yeah, it is Ken Caminiti. His like big year, and then he admitted he took steroids. Ruined. He ruined all outlier years forever. Everyone's gonna go like, did you take steroids, man? Did you pop any PEDs?
I think it's more likely that he's just hurt.
Yeah, I agree. Also, this happens to catchers. Austin Wells, Adley Rutschman, like randomly sucked last year. Although I believe that was an outlier, and I stand by it. Sorry to all people who are waiting for me to relent on the whole Adley thing. That's the only mention I'll make of him. Chris, you got any final thoughts before the Yankees enjoy this off day first and foremost?
Yeah,
and
then nice little off day. Got to keep winning. That's all. Off day, keep winning.
You just keep taking 2 out of 3. I know they're slipping in the division. I get that, you know, and that's not good. But you can only control what you can control. Like, you have to start with what you can control. Mm. You have to just win the games in front of you. And if you hold this Mariners offense down, look, you got to sweep it. You got to go out there and like beat the brakes off a team.
Yeah.
And I need this offense to start showing up. I know this is not a good matchup, but I said about Chris Sale. Like, I don't care. It's Chris Sale. You got to start scoring, and he did. So I don't care that it's, you know, Wu, Miller, Gilbert.
Did you think it was a balk?
Yeah. Yeah. He lifted his leg. Like, I know they're going to say, well, he's done that before. No. He is not. He was not doing the, like, that foot fully disconnected from the ground. Don't give me, like, some guys, like, do a little, like, hitch. Like, they come to the set, and it's like, like, that's fine. That's
Rodon
fine.
Rodon does it.
Right. Like, that's, and I think there's aura to that, too. Like, that's kind of tough. Like, you got, I think there's a little bit of, like, ooh, right? This guy's itching to go. You can't do a full leg lift out. You know, you just can't.
We are going to do an FSB after this.
Yes.
I want to ask you, though, on this show, thoughts on the Zach Wheeler, like, pitching from off the rubber?
I think it's fine. Like, as long as the rules, like, I'm a big believer of two things. If the rule book allows it and the umpires don't previously warn you of it, you can keep doing it. Then, I believe he mentioned he was informed he was on a list for this stuff during the game. For the, like that was how that played out. Like, he was told that he'd been warned more sternly during that game. The
coach freaked out.
Right. And I think that's silly. Like, to be honest,
well, I think the freak out is because he was on the list, and it's like, he's on the list and you guys told us he's on the list and he's still doing it. So I'm going to freak out. I think is how I interpreted it.
Yeah. And I will say, like, I'm going to speak out of bias here, because this is kind of how I feel like John Schneider operates, where it's like, I'm going to be a stickler. Like, he got pissed about, like, the Yankees third base coach not being within the baselines. He gets pissed when Aaron Judge looks down for a second and then hits a home run off of Jay Jackson. Like, I don't like John Schneider. Like, I think coaching staff, there's a loser into
them. He does a good job playing mind games with umpires and pitchers.
No, I think that's why I'm trying to note that I'm biased. I'm sure if this was like, I think there's a strategic advantage to acting this way. And I do not think it's bad. There's nothing in the rules against any of these things. Nothing. There's nothing in the rules against what John Schneider is doing. So in the same vein, yeah, John Schneider should be allowed to, like, the hitting coach, like, you're not going to get banned for saying
he definitely empowered him. And he did it to, like, and honestly, you're just trying to do it to throw off Wheeler.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're doing.
And you know what? Again, there is nothing wrong with any of this from a legal baseball standpoint. I think it's
optically
fine.
Optically annoying.
Yeah, exactly. It's optically annoying. Much like, I'm sure if this was like Wheeler was a Blue Jay and like, I'm sure I'd go, this is optically annoying from the Phillies. So I'm going to, like, I acknowledge my bias in this. I think it's annoying when the Blue Jays complain because they do it all the time. Like, you had one of the announcers suggesting that umpires were throwing the game Springer was implying that the umpires wanted the Blue Jays to not win the division.
If you want the Yankees to win the division, just tell us, was super lame, like, from a 37-year-old veteran.
That is stupidity. But at the end of the day, it's not illegal.
Yeah.
That one
I put a different category. That's
I'm just saying, like, that bakes my opinion in about complaining. And again, it's hard.
This is FSY. Let's hate the Blue Jays. The mascot stupid. A Blue Jays never scared anybody.
But I will gladly acknowledge my bias in this and give you both sides of it. Like, the I'm upset about it, and then the all right, like, I'm upset. Like, that's a little bit too much. I think it's stupid.
I'm annoyed. Yeah.
And then also, like, yeah, but I think it's stupid. Guy wearing a Knicks hat who, like, hates the Raptors as well because they used to kick the shit out of the Knicks. Guy who hates the Blue Jays because they kicked the shit out of the Yankees in the ALDS and in 2015. I never forget 2015. That broke my heart as a kid. Like this is the person giving you his opinion. Like, that is important in all this as well, because I have some semblance of journalistic integrity.
Some semblance. No.
Well, you know, I've heard some stories that, like, you know, Blue Jays media is they don't, like, follow the same level of journalistic integrity.
Yeah, we've seen it. Get us out of here, right?
Yeah. Like, subscribe, turn the notification bell. Let us know what you guys think in the comments below. How are you feeling about the Yankees? We appreciate you guys so much. Like, subscribe. Deuces, everybody.